To it. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the many blessings you've poured upon us today. And now the blessed opportunity to be able to get into your word. Please help us now as we study the word to be able to grow close to you and be able to build our faith and trust in you and in your word. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Power of the tongue. The tongue or the word. We know that the word has awesome power. There's a couple different ways you can look at this. Of course, one of them would be looking at Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word. And His tongue or His words spoke everything into existence, as we see in Genesis chapter 1. Everywhere through the entire chapter where it says, "And God said, and God said, and God said," over and over, that's the power of His Word, the power of the tongue. And over in John, in chapter 1, in verse 1, we clearly see it re-emphasized in the New Testament, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And on over in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word, Jesus Christ, the awesome power that He has. Over in John chapter 11, illustration of some of the many miracles that He spoke, and it occurred exactly like He wanted it to. Just as He was out on that water and He said, "Peace be still," and the storms calmed down. And then here we see the awesome account of the, in John chapter 11, verse 41, as He speaks and Lazarus comes out of the grave. Of course, we know this setting here. Lazarus passed away. He'd been in the grave for 4 days. And now, picking up in verse 41, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me, and I knew that Thou hearest Me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And when He thus had spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go." So by His words, His spoken words, He illustrated for us so many times, over and over, how important the very words that we speak are. Of course, we don't have the awesome power and ability that Jesus Christ has, but He has shared a lot of that with us. We have access to His power by allowing Him to do miracles and to work through us. And as we, as Christians, should always display Jesus Christ in our lives, in all of our actions, and in our words, the things that we say, the things that we say to each other, the things that we say directly to the Lord, all count. They all are very important. They all are going to be heard and recorded, and we will be accountable for them. So we have to take a lot of caution in the way that we speak, how we present ourselves as Christian to others, how we present ourselves in our prayer life to the Lord, and even in speaking to ourselves. What are we actually speaking? What are we saying? What are we wanting to communicate? Because it goes beyond the verbal expression, the noise that you hear when you speak. Because when it really gets down to it, it's talking about communication. What are you communicating? Because you can say a lot without even uttering a noise in a way you look, in the way you turn your eyes, the way you express your facial features, the way you carry yourself, can speak a lot. So how are you communicating? How well are you communicating to others? And are you communicating what you really should be to others? In Psalm 34, there are many psalms and proverbs concerning the word and speaking and talking and communicating and communion and so forth. The relationships with each other is what you want to take from this. It's not just the audible words that you speak, but the way that you are communicating with someone else. That's the main point I want to focus on. And in Psalm chapter 34, pick it up in verse 11 here. Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Keeping your tongue from that evil is very important. As he emphasizes all throughout the scriptures, as it continues, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. You see, when you combine 13 and 14 there, you see that it goes beyond just the audible expression of words. Because it says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. So it's an action, it's an involvement beyond just the verbal communication. Our communications with the Lord and with others should always be in the proper manner and in the proper way. We should always think before we speak, think before you act, think before you react and interact with others. Our communication is very important. Over in Proverbs chapter 21, Proverbs 21 verse 23, where it says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. There again, emphasizing. You can get yourself in a whole lot of trouble very quick the way you communicate to someone. You can send the wrong signal. You can send the wrong expression. You can hurt someone. You can entice a relationship that you really do not want to entice. So there's a lot of ways you can take this. But it can lead you to some very, very serious problems. Over in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. There again, talking about deceitfulness. It goes beyond just the word. But when you are lying and conniving, you are filled with evil, and in those evil actions, it's going to work your ruin. It's very, very important that we understand that we must always, as it says, eschew evil or flee from evil. And one of the easiest ways to express evil is through our communications. Because, after all, we have within us are all of the bloodline of Adam. And because of the fall of Adam, we are all of a sin nature. And when we let that rule and reign in our lives, we are going to be evil, mischievous, hateful. And we need to totally yield ourselves to the Spirit once we've received Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and He moves into us in the form of the Holy Ghost and revives us, quickens us, brings us back alive. Always lean toward the Spirit, not toward the flesh. Because the flesh is going to get us in trouble. And if we can control the flesh, control those evil desires that is within each and every one of us, whether we admit it or not, because they can be expressed so rapidly, we must realize we got to keep it under control. don't ever just fly off the handle. We must always be patient. Take a moment. Don't speak before you think. Don't react before you think as well. This, granted, can be very aggravating to some people if you do not respond very quickly verbally. I myself am guilty of maybe pausing a little too long in some of my communications with my wife. She wants answers very quickly. But I have learned through all the many years I've been married that if you respond very quickly, sometimes you can get yourself in trouble very quickly as well. So it's best to just take a moment to think a little bit. What are the repercussions of what I'm about to say? But in that pause, there can be a lot of repercussions from that pause. So there's a fine line there. Communications are very difficult at times. We must study that and always put a lot of thought into it. But don't pause too much in some of the situations, or you might get in trouble. But over in 1 Peter, in chapter 3, let's pick it up in verse 10, reads, "For he that will love life and see good days," just like we were reading earlier, "let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile." As we saw over there in Psalms chapter 34, Peter reemphasizes this. Shows how important it is. "Let him eschew evil," in other words, flee from evil, "and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." It should be our desire to ensue or go after, seek peace. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Reemphasizing the Psalms here, how important this is. Our communications with others can lead us into having a time of peace or having a time of war and conflict, as we have seen very well illustrated lately in the international world and even here locally in our country and politics. How quickly someone's words can inflame a very big fire and result in a lot of hardship for many people. Not just the ones speaking the words, but many more can suffer from your words and the conflict that you could start by saying something inappropriately or untimely. But we must flee from all of the evil that is naturally within us, because we are, as I said, descendants of Adam, and stand on the righteousness of Jesus Christ by His strength, ask for His guidance, ask that He totally control us completely and keep our communications on the right track. Keep them so that we can have peace and reframe our tongue. It means control it, keep it under control. James illustrates this very well. In James chapter 3, he addresses this. Verse 1, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and is able to bridle the whole body." Now this first verse here, "My brethren, be not many masters," this is talking about being instructors, teachers, preachers, pastors, in the position of being able to teach someone else. This could also even dwindle down and be considered even a parent. Because in being a parent, you are the master of those children, so you have responsibility there as well. It's a caution going out to anyone who has the responsibility of guiding someone else, is who he would speak to here. "My brethren, be not many masters." A caution going out to there. When you decide to receive that responsibility, to take on that responsibility, to have that position, know that along with that position comes a greater condemnation or a greater judgment. The Lord is going to look upon you with greater intensity, and you are going to be held accountable because of what you have been given, the responsibility that you've been given, the opportunity that you've been given, and you are going to be judged by those. But understand also that by accepting the responsibility of being a master, a ruler, a controller, a politician even, a teacher, a preacher, a pastor, a parent, the blessings come along with that as well. Greater condemnation means there's a lot more scrutiny of everything that you do, everything that you say, every word that you speak. And in this modern times where your words are recorded and broadcast in so many different areas and ways, we got to realize how much influence and impact we can have on the entire world. You think, oh, I'm just some little individual. What am I going to say that could have an influence on the whole world? And then you type in a few things on your Facebook and you blast it out there and the whole world sees it. You just then had a responsibility of everything that you just put on there and what it's going to influence, how it's going to affect someone else. We got to always understand that everything that we do is going to be looked at. Every one of us, in one way or form, could be considered one of these masters because we have all got some influence over someone else that is our subordinate, that is our child, that is our relative, that is our congregation, that is our employees, that is our friends on Facebook, that is our audience, that is our followers on Twitter, and so forth. There's so much responsibility in that. We got to always know that we are going to be accountable. And that's what he's telling us here. Greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. There's things that we do that are going to offend everybody. Sometimes there's no way of getting out of that. But we got to know that. Be very careful in that. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. If you've really got it under control, that you never say anything whatsoever wrong, that's perfect. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. That's quite a description of the power and influence of what we say, how we communicate. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. Meekness, that word that we see so often, that meekness is power under control. If we really have that power under control, we then will have the knowledge and wisdom that comes along with that. Because we have so much power in everything that we communicate to others, we have to be responsible in that. And that is keeping that under control. That's where that meekness comes in. And in the ability to be able to control all that you say, all that you communicate, you can have quite an impact on others around you and have an awesome testimony. But you can destroy so much, so quickly, by saying something wrong. One simple little sentence can burn up so much gain that you've already acquired so quickly. That's why we always need to be very, very careful in our communications. Over in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, "My children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Another area of our communication. We might be saying one thing and doing another. We might be expressing to someone that we love and care for them, but truly we don't. I'd be just a total lie. But we need to realize that we have to be truthful. We're not supposed to be deceitful and full of lies. Matthew chapter 12, if we'll turn over there. Let's pick it up in verse 31 here. "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men." That's some pretty serious woe, you might say, caution. You say something against the Holy Ghost, you're not going to get forgiveness for that. "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." The unpardonable sin, to speak against the Holy Ghost. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Can't say it any clearer than that. Every idle word, that means every word that we speak, everything that we say. Idle word. This takes even the most insignificant words that you might say, the gibberish, the babble, the just blurring out stuff just to be hearing yourself speak. It's all going to be looked at. It's all being recorded. It's all being heard. And it will all be brought back up to be reviewed and looked at. All of it. Because he clearly says it. "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Give an account for your words. And we got to understand that if we want to be held responsible for our failings, then just do nothing. Go ahead and keep failing, keep sinning. You're going to be held accountable. But if we want to get all that washed away, if we want to have that cleaned, turn to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness. You say something wrong, ask for forgiveness. It's still been recorded, it's still going to be heard, but when it is brought up a judgment, the Lord can say that's taken care of, it's been washed in the blood, and it'll pass right on. You won't suffer any lingering everlasting problem or shame for that, because it's washed in the blood. I don't understand that. We will all be judged. everything that we say, everything that we do will be looked at. And if we do mess up, we got to turn to the Lord. We got to ask for forgiveness. We got to confess our sins. Over in Romans chapter 10, in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart men believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We need to understand that. We need to call upon him. We need to ask for forgiveness. We need to ask for mercy when it comes time for judgment day. We need to recognize that. We need to lift it up and give it to him. Because it says, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. So we need to confess it. When we mess up, communicate to the Lord that, Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up again. Please forgive me. Control my tongue so that I don't mess up again. Control my expressions. Control all of my communications. And get it washed in the blood. If you've posted something you know shouldn't have been posted on this social media, get in there and wipe it out. Delete it. Can never delete it completely, but at least you can keep it from multiplying anymore. So look at your lives. See if there's something that you need to get cleaned up, need to get washed in the blood. Take it to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for his guidance. Yield to him completely and totally. Let him take control over everything, even every word that you communicate. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It is so powerful. It gives us the guidelines in everything throughout all of our relations in this world and with you. Helps to realize that. Helps always to dig deep into there, to find that guideline that we need, to find that support that we need, so we can grow closer and closer to you and bring honor and glory to you in everything that we do. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.